Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. The AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy, warm and humid today, the high around 88. Kenosha right now, 78 degrees. It's 77 in Burlington, 78 Milwaukee, 78 degrees in Racine. It was forced to close late Tuesday morning because of a malfunctioning air conditioning system at the start of several days of hot weather. The Racine Public Library's main location downtown back in business in about less than half an hour for regular business and as a cooling center. Library had to stay closed on Wednesday for the repairs to be made. Librarian Jessica McPhail noting it got quite warm inside, but once the fix was complete, temperatures started dropping almost immediately. The mobile library, that was out of service for weeks itself earlier this year due to a traffic accident. They kept going Tuesday and Wednesday with the main building unavailable. So the downtown library doors in Racine reopening at 9 o'clock this morning. There's the possibility of the Milwaukee Bucks and a new developmental league team being located in Racine, and that's led to a discussion about a study of maybe tying an arena to what appears to be a development project for the downtown area. Nothing specific, however, has been mentioned at this point. Mayor John Dickert got the ball rolling, if you will, on talk about Racine and the hunt for one of the teams, along with five other cities, starting with the 2017-18 season. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave letting slip during a Finance Committee meeting last night that an arena study would require some county dollars.
I can tell you the arena study will be about, or the downtown project will be about $4,500.
He called it initially simply a potential major downtown development project that needs to be studied, which is why he's requested money out of contingency. The county board will have to decide that.
That study is $4,500. I think it's important that the county board has the chance to look at that study when weighing in on a decision of this magnitude.
No mention made of any specific location for a potential arena and or business development. The mayor's only talked about the issue in generalities, just trying to get the team. Racine, one of at least two of the cities that does not have an existing facility. The county board's executive committee did meet after the finance committee's gathering in a closed session. That agenda stated, deliberate and seek authorization for investing public funds regarding a business opportunity and the associated strategies. What that discussion entailed is unknown, though County Executive Delagrave indicated beforehand it will become known soon enough. Well, after searching for years, Gateway Technical College may have finally found an acceptable replacement location for the makeshift track that it uses at the old Dairyland Dog Track site to train police and fire science students on emergency driving techniques. It's 8 acres tucked in the far southeast corner of Kenosha's regional airport next to Gateway's Horizon Center. That prompted a warm reception at the Kenosha Airport Commission meeting yesterday. City Administrator Frank Bassetti there indicating administration is fully behind it.
Anytime that the city can participate and help Gateway expand their operations in the city, we want to be there standing next to them. So we encourage your support on this issue. We certainly are supporting it. It's good for the airport. It's good for more activity on the airport. It's good for the college, more students at the college. It's good for the community.
Because of state-imposed caps, though, on major projects, construction could not begin if the proposal's okayed until early 2018. Until then, Gateway hoping to be able to just continue using the bumpy Dairyland Dog Track parking lot. Past attempts to locate a new first responder training site, those have run into opposition from neighbors, as well as a voter rejection with a referendum. In Burlington, the City Council talked again this week in Committee of the Whole about a potential solution to a traffic problem at Milwaukee Avenue and Pine Street. Drivers wanting to turn left, they're holding up through traffic. Alderman John Schultz questioned whether limiting turns to certain hours with signage would really do the trick.
If our premise is that we shouldn't be making left turns at that intersection, maybe we should make it 24/7, you can't make left turns, right? We want everybody to go at the intersection either before it, or if they happen to miss it, go down to the loop, right? So I guess I question why play this games of certain hours. I mean, I get it that traffic is heavier sometimes versus others, but all it takes is to hold up one car behind you, and that's the annoyance factor that we're trying to avoid.
When the discussion ended, the possibility of a sign restricting left turns to certain hours of the day was still on the table, but with Alderman requesting a more detailed count on vehicles for that intersection. One of the two people accused of taking part in the murder of a Kenosha man last month is expected to appear in court this afternoon.
55-year-old Derek Matthews has been charged with being party to the crime of first-degree intentional homicide. He was arrested last week. And more information about the circumstances surrounding the death of Michael Guyon, whose badly decomposed body was found in his home near Eichelpin Park last week, could be revealed in court today. Matthews allegedly has confessed to providing the murder weapon, but denies being present during the killing. Matthews' sister, Donna Matthews was arrested in Seattle this week and is awaiting extradition back to Wisconsin. She is facing the same charge. It's not clear if any other suspects are being sought. Guyon and Donna Matthews had dated on and off for several years and had lived together earlier this year in Hawaii. A bad breakup led to some unflattering posts on Guyon's Facebook page. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
It was a fingerprint match that resulted in a burglary charge against a man accused of breaking into Gezi Elementary School in January of 2010. Six Apple computers were taken. They were eventually recovered the next day, a resident finding them in an alley behind the school. The screens and the keyboards, though, were dusted for prints by police. The results entered into a database. Then last December, a match for the prints was found, leading to the burglary charge against 28-year-old Damian Orr. Wisconsin has a law that says colleges and universities must allow concealed carry on campus, but with the ability to ban weapons from buildings if signs are posted at every door. That's what's happened. Now, with terrorist attacks and other violence-making headlines, there is once again a call to allow students and others at schools to be armed. Still a bad idea, says UW-Madison police spokesman Mark Lovicott, who says more guns are not the answer. Gun safety is always welcome, though.
We feel our colleges don't need more guns. We feel like they don't belong in classrooms, our student centers, locker rooms, laboratories. We just feel there's no evidence that exists indicating that college campuses would be safer because of concealed carry laws and more guns.
He also counters the argument about a law-abiding citizen with a license to carry can stop an offender with a gun by pointing out that law enforcement gets on the scene, they see two or more people with guns, that's all they know. And new research is indicating there could be some serious security flaws with those new chip-based credit cards. Mark Chase with more on that.
The concern is over the card's magnetic strip, which is intended to tell a payment machine to use the chip. But researchers say card thieves can simply rewrite the strip's code to make it appear like a chipless card. That allows the thieves to keep on counterfeiting. Experts say the flaw will only bolster complaints by retailers who argue they were forced by banks to accept chip-based cards. Retailers allege the chip upgrade could cost them $25 billion. I'm Mark Chase.
WRJN newscasts are in podcast form on our webpage. Go to WRJN.com, look at the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.